Bubba Wallace here from 2311 Racing. You know what's slower than a pace car? Waiting at the car wash. That's when I fire up Chumba Casino. It turns those slow minutes into fast fun. With new games every week, you'll never get bored. Next time you're stuck in the slow lane, speed up with Chumba. Play now at ChumbaCasino.com. Let's Chumba.
Sponsored by Chumba Casino. No purchase necessary. VGW Group. Void where prohibited by law. 21 plus. Terms and conditions apply.
Welcome into the Thursday edition of Robbie and Rexrode here on 102.5, 106.3 The Game. I'm Joe Rexrode. I'm in microphone one seat. Paul Kaharsky is in for Robbie Stanley today. First of all, thank you, Paul, for coming in a pinch. Robbie is sick, under the weather, trying to figure out what's going on with him. Meanwhile, we got the roads. Messy out there. I would advise anybody listening right now, if you drive into work in a back roads way, I would say go more main roads. Give yourself a little extra time in case you hadn't considered that.
It's fine.
It's fine?
It's all fine. Look, there's a tree down here and there. But it's fine. And you don't have to cancel Williamson.
I don't think that's a good commentary. There's some of those back roads are low.
I mean, and there are some areas that had major storms. I'm not dismissing that. You don't have to cancel Williamson County schools because there's a tree down here and there. Let the kids who could get to school get to school. And the kids who can't get to school don't get to school. But this is a disease that's going on. Because some kids can't get to school, we need to cancel school for every kid. That's ridiculous.
Yeah, I hear what you're saying, and that's a very different topic that we just found out that Williamson County schools are closed. I hear you, but I kind of feel like that's typical operating procedure, isn't it, in a county? Like
it's ridiculous, part of typical operating.
So you're just like, hey, it's survival of the fittest. Whoever can go to school, you get ahead of the kids who can't. And
I think 85% of the kids would be at school.
What if you did that through an entire year? Because, like, well, in our kind of, there are some outlying areas that are more affected, so that's probably part of what you're talking about. But what if you did that through a whole year? So these kids have, like, 10 less days of school?
I just think today it's fun.
I don't know. I mean, I haven't been through all the roads. I will say that even some roads that I normally don't see have a lot of gathered water.
I think it's a general attitude. If you can call it off. They call it off, just like the driving attitude here. If I could stop, I'm going to stop instead of go. Like if there's an option
light,
here for
saying?
Me to stop or go, I'm going to choose stop.
At a red light.
At a traffic circle, at a yellow light, I'm going to always choose to be super cautious.
Right. You pushy East Coasters.
Just go.
Nick Kieser, how you doing?
He's fine. I'm good. I'm great.
I want to hear from him. You don't know that he's fine. You don't know that everything's fine.
When everything isn't fine. When I'm here, there's going to be less Nick on the air.
Oh, really?
There's less of me all the time. It's all about them.
You're canceling Nick? Kaharsky is canceling Nick.
He's not canceling anything. It's okay.
Yeah.
Yeah, speak up. If you want to go back at him, you got
the
microphone.
What do you mean? There's no reason to go back and forth, Joe Rexrode.
Yeah, I like conflict. Less Nick is better radio.
I like conflict.
Right. It's about who's in the studio, PK. That's the way I've always seen it.
Right.
Yeah.
I appreciate that.
You got it.
So we'll talk to you later.
Thanks, PK.
You speak whenever you like,
but
Nick.
we need positive PK, though. Right? Because Robbie's gone.
We may need to get a visit at some point from Positive PK. By the way, we're broadcasting from the Busy Bee Plumbing, Heating, and Air Conditioning Game Nashville Studios, home of the $99 yearly Beehive membership, where the buzz is always about great service. I believe the text line is fixed, so hit us up on the text line, driven by WilsonCountyHoney.com, 615-737-1025. I think it is going.
You had a theory about it being sabotaged yesterday,
PK.
No, you didn't think I broke it.
Or, yeah, it was sabotage. Stilly sabotage.
I don't have any control of the text line. I don't know anything about the operational end of phones or text lines or any of these.
Well, yeah, Stilly may have sabotaged it because people were ripping him pretty good yesterday. I don't know. But hopefully it's working. Actually, if anybody wants to send a text and test it, that'd be great. In the meantime, we are going to talk a lot of Titans today. We do have Charles Robinson like we always do at 8 o'clock, Yahoo Sports. I don't know.
How about my Knicks last night?
How about your Knicks, yeah?
I'm trying to get into the NBA. It's impossible, but I can't get into the Knicks. who every time they create a little bit of hope, it's crushing. But defend the NBA. I mean, even watching the Knicks, who I want to like and I do like, NBA is such a one-on-one game. I mean, I'm just watching Brunson play whoever's defending him, really.
Well, it depends on who you're talking about. I mean, if you watch, you know, there are some – you're right that Brunson definitely is a ball dominator. So
what
I guess
team is passing the ball around?
The Golden State Warriors play the most beautiful brand of team off-the-ball screens, move-the-ball basketball that's ever been played.
Okay. Period. I don't know how you're watching that because you have an early morning radio show. And, well, and they play at 10 p.m.
Yeah, well, it's probably less than I used to. But that is a team that plays – the most beautiful basketball that's ever been played. If you watch the Denver Nuggets and what they do with Jokic.
West.
Well, yeah, it's weird, but like most of the best basketball has been out there for a long time. But that, you know, his passing, their movement off the ball is fantastic. Sure, I mean, there are some, I mean, like Anthony Davis, I like watching him just take the ball and cross people over and score. I like watching incredible players score on good defenders. You know, I think that's fun too, but this idea that it's all iso ball, that's not true.
It's a lot of iso ball. Not all, but a lot. And I don't understand how there's a bidding war for a sport whose ratings are declining steadily. Major League Baseball's ratings are declining steadily and they have trouble getting money. And the NBA should have trouble getting money.
I don't know. But I do know that I don't feel the need to defend the NBA. I think it's great. Some people hate it. That's fine.
You can't think it's great compared to what it used to be.
Well,
it's a declining product.
No, my God, it's not a declining product.
Well, America thinks it's a declining product. America doesn't watch it the way it used to.
Well, everything's a decline. You're going to go by ratings, PK? Everything is bad except for football. Everything else is going down the toilet. Have you noticed this or no?
Yeah.
Basically, football. Pro football, in particular, and the NCAA tournament, and women's basketball is now exploding, you know, compared to where they were. But basically, everything is declining. All TV is declining. Cable shows declining. Cable channels declining. They're just ghost channels now. MTV used to be,
They don't even play music.
Well, right. I mean, so don't sit here and try to like pick, you know, you're trying to cherry pick. Well, this is declining. Well, the TV is declining. This is what people do. They sit here with this and watch freaking TikTok.
This being his phone. He's not very good at radio. He's pretending he's on TV.
Well, I'm on camera. Look at me, camera. See? Yeah. Plenty of people watching on the stream. YouTube, Twitch, and Twitter, right? That's right. So, the NBA, the product is not declining. The product is as good as it's ever been. The players, the talent, good as it's ever been.
You can't say as good as it's ever been.
Oh, it's not. PK.
How young are you?
PK.
How young are you?
How young am I?
Yeah.
I'm not young.
Okay, well, I may be overly nostalgic, but it is not as good as Bird and Magic and Jordan.
Listen. It's not as good in terms of the drama,
it's
the
not
rivalry.
As good as Pistons and Knicks.
Hey,
and
listen, again, I'll say this for the millionth time. My favorite thing in the entire sports
was
history
probably
was
Lambeer
that.
And
yes.
Isaiah.
Those teams and that era, my favorite thing. So from a nostalgia perspective.
Real rivalries where guys cared and didn't hug each other before games.
Yeah, you know, I mean, that stuff is a little bit overrated. But the point being, if you want to talk about the product, these teams right now, urinate on those teams. They destroy them. My beloved Pistons. Like, God, don't make me do this again. Rick Mahorn, love that guy. Absolutely love Rick Mahorn. And I got to know him a little bit after his playing career. I mean, he's hilarious. If you remember Rick Mahorn, he was – that dude would get laughed at if he tried to play in the freaking NBA today. Mark Aguirre would get laughed at.
I agree. John Starks wouldn't be
bigger, stronger, faster works in all sports. You agree? Like if we took an NFL team, we took the 85 Bears, they give up 45 points in a game today. You agree?
Probably.
Okay. So bigger, stronger, faster, better. We kind of agree with that, and yet for some reason in the NBA, I think it is nostalgia. People are like, with these rules, Jordan would score 80. I'm like, dude, the Golden State Warriors would beat them by 40. I mean, just get out of my face with that stuff.
Yeah, but that just because the athleticism is better and the skill is better doesn't mean the product is better.
Again, if you love basketball, which I do devoutly, probably more than any other sport, it is their basketball and what they've done over – and I know they're declining now the dynasty's over. It's the best basketball that's ever been played. So that's how I feel. I'm with you on the personalities, the rivalries, the passion, all that stuff. I mean, yeah, you'll never top that era.
The best of the best basketball may be the best. But look, I want desperately to like the Knicks and enjoy it.
I mean, I enjoy watching them.
The Knicks are finally winning. But watching Brunson one-on-one, I'd rather watch Charles Smith get stuffed three times at the rim.
I mean, he does dominate the ball a lot. Yeah,
and he's fantastic.
There's some,
but
you know,
the other eight guys might as well not be on the court.
I mean, Josh Hart has hit a lot of big shots for them, and OG Anunoby has played very. You know, it's not quite as dramatic as you claim, but you know, I could
do a lot of clearing out. I mean, these guys before us are talking about they need rest, they need rest, they need rest. Well, everybody else on the floor is getting rest on every possession.
Yeah, I mean, that's fine. It's some teams do it differently than others. He's an incredible player. I'm enjoying the playoffs. I enjoy them every year. But like, there's a lot of different ways that people play the game, and just depending on their personnel, you know. I mean, I think the ISO basketball, the NBA is an ISO game, peaked in probably about the late 90s or so. Like, that's when it was like it was also a very defensive game. They were low scoring, you know, Heat, Knicks, if you remember those teams, sure. Like Allen Houston, they'd play like 80 to 76 games in the playoffs. Like, that was hard to watch.
The other problem with professional basketball that you love and I hate is that the players run the league. I like some structure. I like coaches with authority. And the NBA, the players choose the coaches. They fire the coaches. The same coaches come around, get dumped, whatever. But if you're a star player and you don't like the coach, he's got no chance. Right. He's not going to listen to the coach ever.
Okay. So first of all, NBA coaches have been recycled and fired like this forever. I mean, Richie Adubato had like 19 NBA jobs. So
Jeff Van Gundy, when he coached the Knicks, had authority over Patrick Ewing. Over John Starks.
Okay, so you're a big authority guy.
Well, I like the coach to have power to tell the players what to do
Oh, you agree. Nick Kieser agrees. You agree
you
with PK.
Speak. You may speak.
Yeah, why PK says, why in the world says you can, wouldn't you can not speak. Like that? I would prefer for I mean, coaches
Joe
to
wants
be
no
that
coaches.
Way.
No, again, first of all, again, it depends on the coach, the experience level, the players, the locker room, all that stuff. I mean, you're oversimplifying. Yes, like LeBron. And I don't think that he got Darvin Ham fired, but LeBron is an example of a guy who has gotten. But let me tell you something. You don't think that Michael Jordan had anything to do with Doug Collins out and Phil Jackson in? In this golden, amazing era of coaching? You don't think that Magic Johnson and Paul Westhead, he's out and Pat Riley's in? Okay. So in this golden era, that was 40 years ago. So has it really changed that much?
Yeah, but
you don't think in the NFL there's been star players that have at times had something to do with coaches being fired?
At times, but not at the NBA level. And the okay. NBA in the NFL, if you bomb out, you get a second chance, maybe.
That's true.
In the NBA, you just move from city to city, just get your van and go.
Well, I guess the coaches have more authority over their ability to just continue to coach in the NBA than they do.
No, they just
in the NFL.
There's not a pool of coaches, apparently.
That's a fair criticism. All right, well, speaking of the NFL, we're going to get into the Tennessee Titans and talk a little bit about some changes in the front office. Get PK's insight on that.
Pending perhaps
changes. But there are changes, one way or the other. There are changes coming in the front office of the Tennessee Titans. Robbie and Rex are 102.5, 106.3 The Game. Welcome back in. Robbie and Rex are 102.5, 106.3 The Game. Joe Rex here with Paul Kuharski. Got to get that right.
Nice.
How important is it to really emphasize the ooh in Kuharski?
Well, it's just important to pronounce it Kuharski.
And not – so if people say
– Kuharski.
Kuharski bothers you.
Yeah. Well, yeah. It's incorrect. Yeah. Incorrectness bothers me.
I got you. Okay. Paul Kuharski.
Very nice.
Here in the studio. And I was wrong. So apparently the text line still isn't working. So you can call us on the on the phone end. It is actually a phone end text line driven by WilsonCountyHoney.com. 615-737-1025. You prefer calls?
I prefer calls.
Yeah.
You guys don't prefer me to take calls because you're soft. But
Yes, exactly, because we're soft. That's exactly right, PK. I prefer text because you can get to a lot more thoughts and quickly get in and out there, not have the stammering and whatnot. You know what that's all about.
So you're accusing your listeners of stammering.
Well, there's some stammering. I just accuse you of stammering too. But we all stammer. I stammer too much myself, actually.
And you're a radio professional.
Yeah, exactly. All right, so the Tennessee Titans, they are interviewing scouts. They are changing their scouting department. Please explain.
Well, we don't know for sure that they're changing because they haven't fired anybody. They fired one scout. But
okay, well, that's a change.
Okay. They're having some pretty significant people in. Eagles director of pro scouting, Max Gruder. Cardinals director of college scouting, Josh Scobie. Both interviewed yesterday for jobs that the Titans still have filled, with John Salgi, who's director of college scouting, and Brian Gardner, who's director of pro scouting. So that would suggest that change is afoot. Those guys have been in the positions for a long time. You don't know what these guys do, really. You know, did John Salgi say, I don't like Isaiah Wilson, John. I don't think you should take Isaiah Wilson. Or was he on board with him? Did Brian Gardner say, I don't think that Vic Beasley's got it in him? Or is he the guy that brought John Robinson, Vic Beasley, and said, here's a cheap veteran pass rusher who we could bring in? You have no idea what these guys did behind the scenes. But the body of work during their time has not been good in terms of the college draft and generally veteran free agent. The roster's bad from the time that they have been in their positions.
Give me the timeline. Give me the timeline.
Scouts. I have to go back, but I mean, they were there for all of Salgi got promoted to college scouting director when Bedingfield was let go. Bedingfield was let go after 1 year of Robinson.
Bedingfield did take part in the 17 draft too, right? 16 and 17, I believe.
I think just 16.
Is that right?
I'm not certain.
Okay. I would have to defer to you on that, but for some reason I thought when I did the Derrick Henry story, he mentioned that he was still inputting on like Corey Davis and stuff like that. But
He was a part of the Corey Davis draft.
Okay, so basically a year and change in two drafts, and then Salgi's in for him.
Yes, but Salgi was on the staff as some level of scout
before
that.
Right.
And I have to look up Gardner here, which would take a second. But he's been around. Let's see. Gardner begins his 28th season this year, including his sixth with the Titans. As director of pro scouting in 2019. So these are not – he joined the Titans in 2014 after seven seasons with the Texans.
Okay. So if their jobs are being interviewed for, is it possible we just haven't heard that they're out and they're out?
Potentially. They're on the Titans website still, which is usually they erase guys as they disappear.
It could also, in theory, be just a beefing up.
Yeah, not necessarily hired for the same roles. You don't know. But also, you know, you beef up, but if you have people who have done the same thing, you also tend to cross. You can over beef.
Right. Right. You don't want to over beef.
You don't want to over beef.
So basically, yeah, because the it could be a demotion situation, right? But I mean, at some point, you sort of have to have a hierarchy and certain people in those roles, which is pretty standard. I mean, different organizations have different
titles and constructs
and sizes of staff,
roughly the same. And then you don't know if Gruder and Scobie, they have bios still in Philly and Arizona, but their contracts would seem clearly to be up. Unless they're being talked to for promotions, and what would the promotions be? You already have, assistant GM on the personnel side with Anthony Robinson. So we don't know. There's a lot we don't know.
So how would you, in general, read the situation because it is the second year with Rand Carthen, but it's obviously first year with Brian Callahan. We know that there were, you know, obviously the big thing was Ryan Cowden went through last year's draft and then was out, right?
Well, this is the time of the year for this.
Right.
Obviously, the scouting cycle runs through the draft, not through the season. And the other thing that I heard is that there are a bunch of interviews going on. So I found out about these two, but there may be more going on. Now, I don't know, again, if they're looking to hire for two positions or if they're looking to hire for six. And so more will come to light. But it seems that they're, I don't want to say finally, but it is odd that even during Robinson's tenure, when things were going bad, there were no scouting department changes going on for a long time. Now, Robinson didn't seem to lean on his scouts very much as an independent, I alone can fix it kind of type, it seemed like, and that was the word you got a lot of times. Like, the, you know, the story was that the Corey Davis pick was a bit of a surprise to the entire room. But, you know, the Derrick Henry story was that he was influenced
sure.
and influenced late. So, again, there's a lot that goes on with these guys that you don't know about and you don't learn about until later.
Well, it's interesting because I had heard that, you know, Cowden contested Robinson on some things and that there was a between those two.
Right, but with how much effect is the question.
Yeah.
Like contesting him is one thing, but influencing
with
him
some,
is,
yeah.
is another thing.
I mean, that's the thing. If there was one thing that it would be amazing to get would be like the scorecards on
Who's.
Yeah, exactly. And you know, you get these little nuggets. I mean, you and I have both talked to Blake about different things. Obviously, the Derrick Henry thing is that guy, you know, probably deserves like some sort of like put his name on something, you know, for the way he stood on the table for Derrick Henry. So on Corey Davis, just curious then, to your understanding, the surprise thing, does that include Mularkey?
I think it includes almost everybody. Tom Roth is the one scout that the Titans let go earlier. My understanding is that Robinson was very quiet about his Corey Davis affection.
Wasn't it obvious? Like I know it's been years now, but like I feel like it was for us it was obvious that Corey Davis was a Robinson guy.
Yes. Well, it's obvious there was a Robinson guy, but the thing is that the strengths at the top of that draft were. The best players at the top of that draft were Jamal Adams and Jalen Ramsey, right, who weren't necessarily the guys the Titans needed. So that wasn't a draft where, like this one was.
That was a need-reach draft.
Where needs lined up with what they needed. And they had two picks, 5 and 18, and we all knew they were coming out probably with a receiver and a corner. We didn't know which ones, and we didn't know which one was going first and which one was going last. And I think Ramsey went ahead of them. But Adams might have been the best pick in terms of getting the best talent.
And I believe that's what Blake preferred, right? If I remember correctly.
Yeah, I think so.
Yeah. Well, yeah.
And Corey Davis clearly wasn't the fifth best player in that draft.
Well, they should have taken Pat Mahomes. That's what people say now. I mean, it's amazing how many people – look at that draft and say, you didn't take Patrick Mahomes. You took Corey Davis.
I know whose voice you just went into right there.
Whose voice was that?
A little Stilly.
Oh, no. That's not my Stilly voice.
There
Come
was
on,
a little,
man.
There was a touch of Stilly.
I'm not talking about him at all. I don't think he understands it. Like, at that point, it was all in on Mariota.
It was completely.
Absolutely.
It was completely. Legitimate to miss Mahomes in that.
Of course. You had a guy who actually had a really good season in his second season.
Well, not just that. I mean, Mahomes was no guaranteed prospect.
That's another revised history. Like, hey, everybody, remember, he went – like, the big screaming back then, which was also valid, was how the heck did you just take Mitch Trubisky over to Deshaun Watson, right? And then it was actually people talking about Mahomes. Mahomes went before Deshaun Watson? What? You know, so – It's always funny to revisit those.
And Deshaun Watson was on course there for it not to look like a terrible choice for a while.
Well, absolutely. It looked like a great choice until it didn't.
Until it didn't.
Until things happened. All right, we come back. We're going to get into a little bit more what this might mean and how fans should read into these rumblings and ongoings in the Titans front office. Robbie and Rex Show, 102.5, 106.3 The Game. Welcome back in. Robbie and Rex Show, 102.5, 106.3 of The Game. Joe Rex Show here with Paul Kuharsky in for Robbie Stanley, a little under the weather today. Not a terrible day to not be driving around out there, too. Be careful out there. If you are out there, take main roads, I would say. Even if it means a couple more minutes than taking the back roads.
Here's more advice. If they're flashing lights, like over on the shoulder, just continue driving. If there's a curve, just continue driving. These are problems we as a city just need to... There's a big curve on 65, over near Old Hickory Boulevard.
Okay.
And people slow down there like there's an accident. It's just a curve. If you continue driving, then the people behind you will continue driving. Then everybody will get where they're going.
You got such good advice for people today. Okay, I'm trying to get into the YouTube chat. Let's see. I created a channel. Did you know that? I guess that really means just create a handle. So you can get in the YouTube chat. I just tweeted out the link that Nick Kieser put out there if you want to chat. I feel almost naked if there's not chatting going on during the show. I'm just typing test. Hey, it worked. So there you go.
Look, Joey's in there.
We got the phone and text line driven by WilsonCountyHoney.com. You can still call us, 615-737-1025. Talking about the Titans, talking about the front office. So how should fans look at this, PK? Do you think that there's some sort of, structural change happening? Is this sort of – because obviously Brian Callahan comes from a totally different system, as we've discussed. I guess you could look at it as a shoestring kind of system, the way the Cincinnati Bengals, the Browns, have done forever. But I think it's kind of fascinating to – make those coaches do all that scouting, and maybe there's some value and benefit in that. Obviously, that's kind of his background coming in here. But is it just a matter of this was inevitably going to happen, that they were going to, over time, kind of freshen things up and switch some things up?
I think, and I'm not talking specifically about guys. I don't know the guys well enough, but I think it's a stale group. At least there's some staleness there. I don't know how you go through such a bad stretch of player acquisition and size it all up to the general manager.
Though you did just say he was very independent in thought.
Well, that's fine. Then you go to the scouts and say, how hard did you challenge the general manager? How much did you fight for your voice to be heard? Show me the evidence that you disagreed with this and that.
Because Blake Bedingfield, who we've already brought up, was a guy who did that.
Right, and got fired for it. So I think some are good, some are bad. I think there's a culture of yes menery, which you don't want.
How common do you think that is in general in the NFL?
I think it depends on the personality of the general manager, and I think the best general managers don't want it.
Yeah,
I think the best general managers want multiple
collaboration,
opinions,
perhaps,
but multiple opinions to sort through and multiple voices. And I think, there was a point where they were talking so much about positive collaboration and kumbaya and all of that. And I wrote a story a couple weeks before the draft with Carthon and Callahan both talking about. And Carthon said very clearly, that getting along stuff has been maybe too much. We need disagreement in the room, friendly disagreement. And Callahan saying, conflict is an important part of this process, and we need it. And John Harbaugh saying, everything we do in Baltimore comes out of conflict. It's set up for us to disagree and then come to an agreement. Not just
– And by the way, they consistently make good choices.
Yeah, are one of the best organizations. He said not just on a draft pick, But on any kind of decision that we're making is set up for that. I don't think the Titans have had enough of that, either out of fear or out of a powerful person at the head of the department making the decision or whatever. And so I would hope if they're bringing in new people now that they would be strong voices that would be heard and considered in the mix. And so I expect that's the direction they'll be going if they add these kind of people. And then I would hope that they would be the kind of people that would also be heard. I think Brian Callahan's made it clear that we're going to be able to talk to some people. You and I are going to be among those that talk to assistant coaches for the first time today. And I don't know that the system of talking to assistant coaches is going to change much. But he did say, you know, regarding the new strength coach, well, you know, down the road, I look forward to you guys getting to talk to him, you know, which is something different. I can imagine that we'll be able to talk to the new – you pitch a story about talking to the nutritionist or to some of these people who are peripheral, so to speak, that in the last 6 years you couldn't even think about pitching a story
have
about.
You – did you try? Like, have you tried in the past with – because I haven't, like, with the nutritionist. Or
no, with
like
Vrabel,
that.
You just knew not to try because it was an absolute no. I did do a story on stretch early.
Yep.
That was, you know, but it was still early.
Yeah, yeah. Well, it's interesting, though, to me to think about this because, like you said, you've got, obviously, you have Rand. I mean, I think Brian Callahan, I mean, it's clear, even listening to Brian Callahan, I know he didn't talk after, on the last day of the draft, but just listen to him talk about these choices. I mean, obviously, he's very involved in the situation. I would hope your head coach would be and basically be like a co-partnership. I agree with the idea of you'd like, you know, the GM to be the GM, and so that's where the buck stops there. And also for us, that's the accountability. But, I mean, if you're in that building, don't you want that? Don't you want those voices to be just as strong? I think so. But you also have Anthony Robinson, like you mentioned. Chad Brinker is a very important figure of the organization. So now you're talking about bringing in more strong voices. And I agree on the idea of conflict being important for sure. That's where it's like, you know, new people who are just getting to know each other, how comfortable are they really going at it on something and then being fine about it, you know? That I would imagine that gets built over time.
Yes. But I think it's how good football teams work also. I mean, you know who ultimately is making the decision. But
but here's your case. Make your case.
Right. Make your case. And we're not going to be pissed off at the end of the day. But we're going to have a good day of hearty, robust debate on this issue or this player or this cut or, you know, this wrinkle in how we're organizing this tree or a new branch or whatever. And I don't know that there's been a lot of that. And listen, part of that, frankly, and we've talked in great degree about this, the ultimate downfall of Robinson, the ultimate downfall of Vrabel were ego, right? Rand Carthon, still don't know him well enough, but seems like is not a big ego guy. Big relationship guy. Doesn't have a problem with Brinker's status. Doesn't have a problem when the Legarius Sneed trade talks come around and the better thing for the organization is Brinker talking to the assistant GM of Kansas City because he knows him. Doesn't have a problem when the Calvin Ridley talks come around and Brinker has a better relationship with the agent and surrenders that. But there are other situations where, you know, he hits it off with a mom or an uncle, Jeffrey Simmons' uncle, he developed a relationship with, and that was a key in the development of the trust with Simmons that got them where they needed to get with the Simmons contract. And so they're going to play the relationship that's the key there, and that seems like the key to how Rand Carthon works, and we've seen increasing evidence of that, you know, the relationship thing being Carthon's strength.
I see no problem with any of that. I mean, yeah, to me, it's like, as long as everybody's fine, hey, what helps the team and who can do it better? Okay. And
so in a lot of ways, I mean, if you're comparing him head to head with Robinson, that's the opposite of the ego thing, where John would be like, I got to be the guy that's up front. This is my deal. And Vrabel, you know, was a strong ego guy too, which is the things that worked for him worked because of that. And you could understand why he was like that. They both pushed it too far. And when things go south, it doesn't look as good. It doesn't work as well. It doesn't come across as okay, as bearable as it did when it doesn't. Callahan doesn't seem like that. Callahan, I don't want to say super friendly, because Vrabel's ego wasn't an unfriendly thing. Vrabel was incredibly friendly to people in the building and stuff. I don't want people to get the impression
Vrabel was a bad guy
in the hallway with the janitors, right, or stuff like that.
He wasn't some glowering dictator. Like, you could look at the Saban stories with the Dolphins.
He'd ask you about your kids and stuff like
that. Yeah, yeah. People liked working for Vrabel for the most part, I believe.
Yeah, some people didn't. But, I mean, some people don't like working for everybody. Look, I talked to somebody over there, you know, who, just in passing, you know, whose department's probably been turned upside down by Callahan, and it's been difficult for him. Doesn't mean he doesn't like Callahan. Doesn't mean he doesn't like the direction the organization's going. But new coach comes in, and your department gets turned upside down, and it's hard work.
Zach, in the YouTube chat, by the way, thank you, Zach, for not having my fat face as your YouTube profile picture. He says, no one disagreeing within reason is how you end up with Jaquan Jackson over a myriad of other better players. You agree with that?
Well, Zach's a big Malik Washington guy, you know, I'd join him in being puzzled as to why you take him. Now you sit back and see if they had a legitimate reason for liking Jackson the way they did. And maybe he's a much better return man than we expect, and solves a long-standing issue.
So really this is a referendum on Zach's player evaluation. I'm going to remember that. I'm going to remember that, Zach. But, yeah, get with us on the YouTube chat. We are going to take a little break.
And maybe it's a scout that loved Jaquan Jackson that convinced them to take Jaquan Jackson. Because in the Carthon thinking, these late picks, you give scouts loud voice.
Yep, yep. He's spoken about that many times. And, obviously, it worked very well for the Niners.
Yep.
So,
we'll get that history down the road.
I get the Malik Washington thing. I think he's a better player, too, but – I mean, I don't think there's a huge gap, is there, in those two, in terms of if you looked at everything?
Well, we'll find out. A lot of these questions, unfortunately, you know, we want immediate answers on, and we don't get them.
All right, we come back. Robbie Rexall, we're going to do the best and worst in sports. 102.5, 106.3, The Game.
The best and worst of the sports week, now on Robbie and Rex Road.
On ESPN.
102.5, The Game, and The Game Nashville app.
This is the worst.
You look like you're feeling sorry for yourself.
I believe in miracles. Yes! Unbelievable.
He's one of one. He is him.
This is a Coke bottle. It's not a crystal ball.
When I woke up this morning, I was feeling pretty dangerous.
Okay, let's go.
It is that time. Best and worst in sports here on Robbie and Rex. Show 102.5, 106.3, The Game. Here in the Busy Bee Plumbing, Heating, Air Conditioning, Game Nashville Studios.
Go ahead, Joe.
Well, I know I'm going ahead.
Settle down over there.
You don't tell me to go ahead. I tell myself to go ahead.
I thought you might feel normal with someone asking you. That's all.
I mean, I was actually thinking about letting you go first, but that's fine. I'll go first. All right, my best thing. I mentioned him earlier, and actually I need to – part of why I chose him is because I think I called him Anthony Davis earlier. Did I call him Anthony Davis earlier? I may have.
No one was paying attention.
His name is Anthony Edwards, and he plays for the Minnesota Timberwolves. And, again, I understand that PK represents a lot of people on this, and I feel sad if you aren't enjoying the NBA playoffs and the NHL playoffs. But Anthony Edwards is the next superstar in the NBA, and you could kind of see it in his year at Georgia, but you just don't know if things are going to elevate to where they are now. He is an absolutely amazing player, and they are so fun to watch. And right now, they are absolutely taking it to the defending champion Denver Nuggets. So Anthony Edwards and the T-Wolves, but in particular Anthony Edwards, who is just a special talent. The Jordan stuff that's being thrown around, there's people, you know, putting side-by-side video clips of Jordan. And there is stylistically a comparison there. There is a stylistic similarity with those two players. So it's not completely out of the blue. I think it's okay to compare players stylistically and not try to say he's the next Michael Jordan. That, of course, is way premature and at this point ridiculous, but he is very fun to watch. My worst in sports, I'm going to keep it to basketball. And, you know, I don't like to overreact to these things. I usually kind of ignore these things, but this was so dumb. I have to bring this up. You know, Bill Simmons, you a Bill Simmons fan?
Hate him.
Hate Bill Simmons. Why do you hate Bill Simmons?
Bill Simmons, an excellent, excellent writer who has given up writing, which was the most enjoyable thing about him, to podcast, which is easier and lazier, and he's got a whiny voice, and he talks almost exclusively about Boston, which
okay.
I hate.
Okay. All right. So it's basically it's Boston-based, really.
And whiny voice and yeah. Not writing instead of –
he's a great writer. I agree he's a great writer. So he's a podcast, and again, this is just a snippet from the podcast. Ethan Strauss, a basketball writer too, they agree. They had this back and forth about WNBA teams. The WNBA, of course, I mean, I'm carving time out to watch the WNBA this summer that I had not in the past. I've liked women's college basketball for a long time.
Like you've gone and done it on your calendar?
Like I will find out times and find some games, you know what I mean, in the regular season.
Will they be games not involving Caitlin Clark?
Possibly. There's a lot of great players, but obviously she's, you know, watching how she does, there's a lot. I mean, it is like Bird and Magic coming in the NBA. I mean, there's a
except without Magic.
Well, right. There's a similarity to it. Well, Angel Reese is
similarity to it, except it's one player, not two.
Yes, it doesn't have to be the exact same thing, Paul. There is a similarity to a player or players who help transform a league. Anyway, if you'd let me talk, Ethan Strauss and Bill Simmons say the WNBA teams, rather than have their own names, you know, like the Indiana Fever or whatever, the Minnesota Lynx, they should be the W Pacers, the W Timberwolves, the W Pistons. Like, it's really one of the dumbest freaking things I've ever heard. So I just had to jump in and say, my God, that's my worst in sports. Nick?
I was going to let our guest go, but I'll be quick. Going to say that Nikola Jokic, three-time MVP, and he's had three in the last 4 years. I don't think that's ever happened in the last decade, so that's pretty damn impressive. So kudos to him. Other thing I'd have to mention, this is an interesting stat that I think just sucks. I've kind of talked about this last week, Joe, when it came to regards of being a hockey fan in Toronto. The Maple Leafs, they are the second team in MLB, NBA, NHL, and NFL history to make the playoffs in 8 straight years, but only won at least one round or none. So just sucks for them, but figured I'd share something interesting about a team that might have a lot of turnover this offseason and could possibly affect the Predators. We'll see.
And PK?
My best, which sounds like it's worse, but it's actually the best, is that the Pacers submitted 78 plays they felt went against them incorrectly.
78.
During game one and game two against the Knicks. Where did Knicks get all the calls? How about you play better? How about you play better and win a game on the road? 78 plays? Really?
Real quick, Tyrese Halliburton, credit to him, because he's like, yeah, I'd like the recipe better. That's not why we're down 0-2. Good for you, unlike Rick Carlisle.
Rick
whining.
Carlisle went so far as to say he wasn't going to submit the game one plays because he figured the whistle would even out in game two. But when it didn't, then he decided to submit all 78 plays. This is my best because I love teams being babies when they lose games, especially against my team.
Yeah. Couple terrible calls without question. The kickball miss, you know, the moving screen. But, yeah, come on. Yeah. I mean, it's – no.
My
I'm
worst.
I'm with you.
Now, my worst starts with the best. Giancarlo Stanton hit two home runs in two nights. 118.8 miles an hour, fastest home run in the league, until the next night when he hit 119.9 miles per hour. I still don't want him anywhere near my team because it takes him 5.06 seconds to get from home plate to first base. And if he doesn't hit a home run and he somehow winds up on base, it's an absolute nightmare. The guy has no athletic skills except occasionally putting the bat on the ball and hitting it out of the park. He can't play in the field because he can't run. He can't run the bases because he can't run. He is the most one-dimensional athlete in the major leagues. And I can't stand him, and I want him off the team.
Give me Cecil Fielder all day long, man. Don Baylor? Come on. The three-run homer, baby. It's the American League. No?
Hate him.
You know what I hate real quick is the exit velocity crap. Who gives a crap? I like – give me the distance on the home run. I don't care about the exit velocity. I know they do. I don't like all these new stats in baseball. Give me the old stats.
You sound very older.
I know I do. I sound very boomerish. All right, we come back. We're going to get back into the Titans. A little bit on the worst to first stat that PK dug up, and of course the Titans would qualify as a contender this year for that. Robbie and Rex are 102.5, 106.3 The Game.
How to have fun anytime, anywhere. Step one, go to ChumbaCasino.com.
ChumbaCasino.com. Got it.
Step two, collect your welcome bonus.
Come to Papa, welcome bonus.
Step three, play hundreds of casino-style games for free.
That's a lot of games, all for free.
Step four, unleash your excitement.
Woo-hoo! Chumba Casino has been delivering thrills for over a decade. So claim your free welcome bonus now and live the Chumba life. Visit ChumbaCasino.com.